of your choice. And so my desire is to be in first class. Peanuts and water is just not going to cut it for very long. But because we are in coach, that is what is available. Now, you know, this past week, it seems that I spend more time in airports than in my office and in my home. Last Sunday, after we were done here, I took a flight out, came back on Tuesday, went back out on a ministry assignment on Thursday, and yesterday. And on all four occasions, I had to sit in coach because that was the only class. Only class available was coach. And I had thoughts of what it would have been like if there was a possibility of being upgraded to another class. But that just was not available. But like I said last week, you know, first class is always nicer. You get more leg room. You get personalized attention. And the food is a little beyond peanuts and water. But this morning, we would like to continue the series that we started last Sunday, Upgrade to First Class. And last Sunday, we spoke about upgrading your relationships and how important that is to the quality of our lives. And there were several things we highlighted. If we are going to grow in the area of cultivating meaningful relationships, we said firstly that upgrade to first class requires preparation. And we gave at least seven things that you must look at in preparing yourself to be upgraded in your relationship. Secondly, we also mentioned that you must give it some priority. We can't push it to the back burner. It must be at the forefront of our agenda. Always. And thirdly, we said it requires partnership. Because relationships, regardless of how well-intentioned one person is, you need the cooperation of all of the parties that are involved. And so this morning, as we continue, the second talk in this series, we want to talk about upgrading your faith. Upgrading your faith. And so if you have your Bibles with you or your iPad or your iPhone, let me ask you to just get a hold of it and let's go to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Often referred to as the faith chapter. Now, faith is the confidence from verse 1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed, and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was able to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these were still living by faith when they died. And so, Father, this morning we pray that as we seek to upgrade our faith, that you would give us the courage of Abraham, the discipline of Enoch, so that we can share in their experiences. And Father, you know all about our frailty. And so we just commit ourselves to you today. And we pray that you, through your Spirit, would speak to us and through us. And I ask now, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you, our great God and Redeemer. Amen. Now, last week we established the fact that our chief pilot, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made provision for each one of us to be upgraded from our current status to something higher. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. To settle for anything less than God's best, I believe, my brothers and sisters, this morning, is an insult to the Lord, to the one who went to the cross and laid down his life so that you and I can share in his glory. To settle for anything less than the best is an insult to the Savior. And I believe it shows a complete disregard for what Christ has done on our behalf. And so if you are satisfied in coach this morning and flying beneath your God-given potential, there's a vacant seat in first class with your name attached. Now, last week we were challenged to upgrade our relationships and to look at our relationships. This morning I want to talk to you, like I mentioned earlier, about upgrading your faith. Now, here's the question for us this morning. What is faith? According to Webster's Dictionary, faith is an unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. That's Webster. Now, though Webster says we don't need evidence or proof to have faith, as Christ's followers, we do have evidence for our faith. A whole lot of evidence available to us. We have the scriptures. 66 books, 40 authors, written in three languages over 1600 years. We have the resurrection of Jesus as evidence. Dr. Charles Stanley once said that faith is not a feeling, it is a confident conviction that God will do what he has promised. But the nearest definition we have in Scripture is found in our text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You know what is interesting? When we read through the Gospels, the New Testament, we see how Jesus loved and always responded to anyone that had faith. He loved it when those around him placed their full confidence and trust in him. And what was also amazing is that Jesus said, "You don't even need a lot of faith." He says, to be in my corner and to be someone that would be the recipient of an upgrade, you don't need very much faith. He says, if your faith if it's the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the depths of the sea, and absolutely nothing will be impossible to you. So you don't need a whole lot. If you got a little, you qualify to be upgraded this morning. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, God has distributed a measure of faith to every single one of us. And so if you are here this morning, you got a little faith. At least a mustard seed amount. As a matter of fact, it took faith to get you here this morning. How many of you took medication this morning? Don't raise your hands besides Sheldon and myself. Anybody else took any pills this morning? I could see it on your faces. Now, we went to your medicine chest. You opened a kit. You got some pills out. Swallowed, got some water, and you swallowed it. Do you know who made them? The pills you took this morning. Why did you trust your doctor? Why did you place that kind of confidence? Did you check your doctor credentials to make sure that he did go to school? It took faith to get us here this morning. We got into a car. Just pretty politely turn on the key. Did you check to see who made the car? You exercise some faith. You're sitting in that chair today. You didn't come and ask me, Pastor, who made this chair? How long has it been in store? Could it carry my weight? You didn't ask those questions. You walk in the door and you took it for granted that we are trustworthy people, and you just kind of plop right down in your seat. And thank Jesus the chair held you and is holding you. God has given to each of us a measure of faith. And if you are a part of his creation, you got a little faith this morning. So, this morning as we consider upgrading our faith, three things I would like to call to your attention. First of all, I want us to talk about the purpose of faith. What's the purpose? Well, I have concluded that faith provides, or faith does, at least three things for us that are very, very, very essential. Firstly, it regulates our relationship with God. It regulates your relationship. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who sincerely seek him. So it regulates your relationship with God. Romans 4 and 22 says, the righteousness from God comes through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for we are saved by faith. Romans 1 and 17 says, we live by faith. Romans 4 and 13, we receive his righteousness. 5, 1, we are justified by faith. 2 Corinthians 1, 24, we stand firm by our faith. So faith regulates our relationship with God. Secondly, it reinvigorates your dreams. Think about Abraham and Sarah. It was highlighted in our text. Sarah, 90 years old. Abraham, 100 years old. God gave them this promise way earlier in their life together. And they had their challenges, I'm sure, like the rest of us. But God revisited them and brought Sarah's womb alive, as it were, and gave Abraham a second run. At 100 years old, some of you 35 and can't move. Gave him a second run. Bite at the apple. I think that's safe to stay in church, right? But it reignited his passion. Gave him new energy to run on. And when our faith is alive, it gives you the capacity to dream things that may not seem possible in the natural realm. It reinvigorates your faith. That's the purpose of faith. And thirdly, it removes all human limitations. When was the last time you heard about a 90-year-old woman having a baby? Not recently. But see, when we exercise faith in the Lord, he makes the impossible possible. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He takes you beyond the realm of your natural limitations. And he positions you to do some things that seem to really be totally out of whack. It removes all of our human limitations. That is what faith would do. Regulate your relationship with God. Reinvigorate your dream. And so if you have faith this morning, And you had some things on the back burner because of the natural surroundings. You place them on the back burner because you concluded that it can't happen. Maybe a business idea that God rests in your spirit, but you've concluded that based on the economic climate, I can't take the risk. Man, listen, shift your direction. Get your eyes on the Lord. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask or imagine. He can make it rain in the desert. It removes all of the human limitations. But secondly, this morning, I want us to look at the power of faith. The power of faith. Firstly, faith accomplishes the impossible. And we talk about Sarah, 90 years old, being able to conceive. Matthew 17 and verse 20. Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth, Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Now, here's the question this morning. What are those mountains that you are faced with right now? Is it a relationship gone sour? What are those mountains that you are faced with? Is it something in your past that continues to haunt you? What is that mountain that is preventing you this morning from upgrading the quality of your life? From moving to a place of mediocrity, to a place of excellence? What is that mountain that separates you from your destiny? That's preventing you from moving from just the realm of existing to a realm of an abundant life. If you have faith, he says, you can speak to that mountain. But one of the problems for us, you know, we can be settled so often for where we are, and that desire and passion to move lingers on. But God has a better life, like we've been saying. You know, a few years ago, I had the privilege of flying from New Jersey to Tel Aviv and on to Cairo. And from Jersey City to Tel Aviv, Israel, was about close to 11 hours. And at that stage in my life and career, I couldn't afford first class, folks. So I was stuck in coach. Besides the fact that I was on Airline is the Israeli airline. And so every time someone got up and go to the bathroom that didn't look like us, I kind of perked up, but I wanted to accompany them in the restroom. That's how unnerving it was. Right? So besides being uncomfortable with that, I was in coach for 11 hours, you know, I could just see in first class. And the treatment that they were getting up there. And like I told you, China, we got paper plates. They have silverware. We have styrofoam cups. And I'm just saying, you mean for 11 hours I have to endure this stuff? But I didn't have any options. I was not prepared to pay what was required to be upgraded. So I got stuck. 11 long hours. Guy sitting on the side of me snoring. The other one in the back of me probably drank some milk, and you know what happens after you drink a lot of milk. You couldn't escape the fumes. But they were the conditions that I was subjected to because I was stuck in coach for 11 long, brutal hours. Couldn't change my situation at all.
And the circumstances for many of us this morning, we have been living the way we have been living for a long, long, long time. You're not comfortable. You're having to deal with a whole lot of stuff. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, all you need is a little faith. And I will change your circumstances. I will upgrade your status. I would move you from where you are to a better place. It accomplishes the impossible. He says, nothing will be impossible for you. Secondly, faith takes you out of your comfort zone. Listen to what the Lord said to Abraham. I want you to leave your family, your friends, your co-workers, your business, and I want to take you to a place